So you guys will go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 19 this morning. There's a reason for that. I hope you understand that the words that I'm hopefully going to be bringing this morning, I've been praying through them. I think this is what God would have to say to us at the point we are at in our church right now. I think he would want to give us a word of comfort this morning. As transition happens, as change happens, anywhere in our lives, okay, especially in places where we've invested time and we have relationships, that can be difficult. That can be very difficult, especially when you have had someone who has loved a body, a group of people as well as Pastor Michael has. But God has a word for us. He has many words for us in his word in the Bible. But I want to bring a few of those words to you this morning because I see as we've been going through the book of Exodus, I think God has been reminding his people of a lot of things, but one of the things that God has been reminding his people is this. Through trials, through struggles, through slavery, through death, through loss, through tragedy, God is there. He has not left them. And he usually makes himself very real and very apparent to them along that trip. And I know that God has plans for our church. He has plans for all of us. He has plans for each one of you individually. And so I want you this morning to find comfort in the plans of God. I want you to find comfort in this moment, and not comfort that the world brings, not comfort from me, but comfort from the only one, the great physician who can heal and bring comfort himself, and that is God. So let's go ahead and read in Proverbs 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. A similar verse in the book of Proverbs comes from Proverbs 16:9 that says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. We need to know this right away, right from the jump, right from these verses here, that God's plans are perfect. God's plans are absolutely perfect, and we can bank on this. We know that God is working in our lives each and every moment. We know that, right? There is not a millisecond of our day. There is not a single piece of our day, single piece of our being, or anything else that is created that God is not working in each and every moment. We know that theologically. We know that biblically. But we don't always live that way. We don't always trust that God is really that intimately connected with everything that's going on in our lives. We talk about how big he is. We talk about how grand he is. We talk about how powerful he is. And that is absolutely true. But he also wants to be intimately connected to us. And he is. Today, we're celebrating what God has done through Pastor Michael. You have to believe, you have to know that God gave us Pastor Michael. He gave us a shepherd that has guided us along a certain path that God had planned for us. He has drawn our attention to things that maybe if he wasn't here, we wouldn't have focused on. That's the beautiful thing about people that God sends in our life. Not only pastors, but people in general. They open our minds, they open our eyes to things that we wouldn't look at. Because we have thoughts, we have plans, we have ideas, and we get so stuck in our own head, we don't always see those things. But praise God for people that come along and say, no, you need to take a firm stance on the gospel. The Great Commission is not just a cutesy little couple phrases that are tacked on to the Gospel of Matthew. They are God's truth. We need to live in that truth. I don't know how many times, I've been here, what, going into my fourth year? I don't know how many times my Bibles have been cracked open to Matthew 28, thanks to Pastor Michael. They're starting to wear out. But that's a good thing because it has caused me to go, wait a second. Do I really know the words that are there? To say that he's going to be with us to the end of the age? To say that I'm to go out and make disciples? I'm to teach them, to baptize them? That's what we're all supposed to do. It's thanks to Pastor Michael that I was reminded of that. To never lose sight of the plans that God has for this world, no matter what it looks like. And that's the best part about God's plans. They're perfect. Our plans, fallible, bad sometimes, horrible. Why? Because we're drawn to things by our emotions. Maybe we feel a certain way, and, well, I feel this way, I should go do it. Ooh, not usually good policy. Not usually good policy. Or, oh, somebody made me think of this thing, and now, oh, this is the newest, greatest thing. I got to go chase after this because this is it. That's how we operate, because we're fallible. We're created beings. God is uncreated. God is perfect. Everything he does is absolutely what we need. You probably don't know this guy. I didn't know this guy until a couple weeks ago. J.C. Philpott, he was a pastor a few hundred years ago. He has a tremendous piece of advice, and I'm going to say it slowly because I don't want you to miss this. Here's what he says. The plans of our heart are generally to find some easy, smooth, flowery path. Whatever benefits we have derived from affliction, whatever mercies we have experienced in tribulation, the flesh hates and shrinks from such a path with complete hatred. And therefore, there is always a secret planning in a man's heart to escape the cross, to avoid affliction, and to walk in some flowery meadow away from the rough road which cuts his feet and wearies his limbs. We avoid those things. We don't like the tough path. We don't like sometimes looking out ahead of us and going, wow, this looks rough, God. I don't know if I can do this. This looks too difficult. My family's going through some struggles right now. My family is a mess, Lord. I'm internally, I'm struggling with some difficulties physically, Lord. I don't know if I can do this on my own. I don't know if I can go through this. You can't. If you try to go out on your own and do anything, you can't do it. But what we have is a Savior who has made a way and who continues to lead us along the way. Jesus Christ goes before us. He is making the way. He's our forerunner, right? He goes out before us. Do you believe it? You have to look to him in those times of affliction. Look to him in those times of change and go, Christ, I don't always understand what's going on, but I know you're going to make a way. I trust in you because you suffered for me. You walked it out. I trust you. I can get through this. I can do this. So don't hit the easy button in your life. Those trials, those afflictions, those changes that happen in our life, they're a part of God's good and perfect plan. They're a part of his plan. Don't ever forget that. Turn to me to Isaiah 46. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 46, starting in verse 8. Isaiah, once again, a prophet of the Lord, bringing comfort to his people. Isaiah chapter 40 through 48 is all about who God is, what he does, and how the idols, ding, 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 back to Exodus, know nothing. They are useless. But listen to what God is like. Isaiah 46, starting in verse 8. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve, who is the God of comfort and mercy and grace and all of these things, and he's the one making the plans. Trust him. Trust him. Don't look to the things of this world. Look to him and what he says is true, and focus on that, because God's plans are perfect. But not only are his plans perfect, second point I want to make is God's plans give us comfort. God's plans give us comfort. Now, when I say that, I'm afraid I say the word comfort, and all you're like, oh, so I can just sit back and life's going to be easy. Comfort, beach, nothing to do. No. No, he's going to bring you comfort in the midst of those things. A peace that only he can provide. A peace that goes beyond all understanding. That's what God's going to provide. And that's where we get our comfort from. We get our comfort from a God who is perfect. We get our comfort from a God who is truth itself. We get a comfort from God who is the intelligent creator of all things. I'm sure there's many times along this journey that we're going to ask a lot of questions to God. Good. Ever read the Psalms? Ask a lot of questions. What's going on here, Lord? Why do my enemies surround me? What is going on? And Pastor Michael's going to ask the same questions too. He probably has been. God, why am I headed this direction? What am I doing here? Why does this congregation need me? How do I support this next congregation? What do they need from? All these questions are happening in his mind too. But all of us can take comfort in the fact that God is there and doing something. All of our skills and abilities are going to be needed and used to continue to grow the body of Christ. All of us. Some comfort the Apostle Paul gives to the Corinthian church. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church again. Like us, they needed reminders, many of them. I appreciate that because sometimes I can be bullheaded, so I love this. But listen to what Paul says at the beginning of his second letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Sounds like one of those little philosophical wheels, right? You're like, oh, this happens. Okay, let's piece this out. We are given comfort. What? In Christ, right? So first of all, you have to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ here today, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ here today, you can't have comfort. You can't have peace. You will never have it chasing after the things of this world. I want you to know that loud and clear. Jesus Christ is the only way you can have peace. He is it. But this is to the Christian church. So if you're in Christ, you can have comfort from God, who is comfort. Beautiful thing, right? But it's not just about you. It's not just about you. Many of you have gone through tremendous trials in your life. If we were to sit here and talk about all the things that you've had to walk through in your life, and each of us was able to share, it would take a long time. But even more than that, let's think about this. You probably have had this experience, I know I have, where you've gone through a trial. You've seen God working in it. You've learned to trust him more. You've learned to trust in his ways. And what does God do? Quite often, he sends you someone who's starting that journey. He's sending you someone that now you have to comfort. And you know exactly what to say to them because you've walked it out before. That's how good God is. That's how he weaves all of these things together. Now we're able to go comfort others because we've walked through that. An amazing thing, an amazing thing. So as we look at Proverbs 19, we may ask ourselves, okay, I get this. We're supposed to trust in God's plans. He's the God of all comfort. He's got perfect plans. He's comforting us. I get that. So what do we do? What do we do in the meantime? What do we do, right? When Pastor Michael eventually just leaves, what do? We sit here? No, not at all. We continue to do the work that we've been called to do. We have to. We're the body of Christ. Okay? Each and every one of you, believe it or not, who are in Christ, have spiritual gifts, have abilities that you are supposed to be using to continue to minister to this church. Because the church is the people. You know that, right? We are literally a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go back into the book of Exodus here in the next few weeks, and we're going to talk about this great sanctuary they build, and God's going to dwell there, and everybody's going to be like, wow! You know what's more? Wow! God, the Holy Spirit lives in you! So continue to do the work. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Continue to serve people. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for us to say, now we're here to serve. We're here to love each other through the trials. And that's a beautiful thing. So what I would call you here today to think about. Think about the plans of God. Think about what he's doing. And really believe that he has a plan. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. We were promised that. But we also follow the one who has overcome the world. That's who we follow. That's our shepherd. That's the shepherd we all bow our knee to. He is the one leading us beside still waters. And I'm going to trust in him. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so gracious to us. You are so comforting to us. You meet us in those moments we desperately need you. You have plans for all of us, God. You remind us of that each and every day. There are things, God, that you're doing in our life and other people's lives. And what a wonderful thing, God, that we get to be a part of other people's lives the way you are, God. And we can love them. We can be gracious to them. God, and I pray for the Walmarts. God, they're going to need comfort. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties in making this transition. Absolutely. But I thank you, Lord, for how rock solid they are in their faith in you. The example they've shown to us, Lord, I pray that they can be a beacon of light down there in Texas, God. That they can shine a bright light for you, God, and that they'll continue to do kingdom work, Lord, as we will be doing here as well. Because we want to be doing your work until you come, Lord, so we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we praise you for always being with us, always showing yourself to us, and always giving us all that we need. We love you. In your name.